I have an honor and a privilege of something that's never happened before in my life, and that is to have a pastor who's not going to be employed in this district, and to stand alongside the new pastor. And it is an honor and a privilege to be able to introduce Pastor Sean and bring your lovely wife, Lana. Would she like to come up too? I haven't met her yet. Hi, Lana. Yes, it is truly a privilege to be able to be here this Sabbath and to introduce my friend Sean, who we know each other a little bit because of pastoral meetings together and some time at camp meeting, but I look forward to the years to come to be able to get to know you much more and to work alongside you and whatever we can do to help. But also, friends, I wanted not only to introduce them to you, but I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to love and accept and encourage and support Pastor Sean and Alana like you have done with Eileen and I. And I know when you do that, their ministry here will grow and be wonderfully successful. And you guys, you don't need me to challenge you. The Lord does that. But preach the word. Amen. Stand on the word. Lift up God. Prepare people to meet the Lord. And I know that's in your heart, and that's why you're here. And so it's a privilege to be able to welcome you. That's the best way. And so, did you want to say something?
We would like to present a little welcoming gift to Sean and his wife, Alana. A beautiful fuchsia here, as well as a welcoming card. Welcome to the Southern Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Thank you. And remember, folks, you need to give him more grace than me, even, because I only had two churches. He's got three. So he's going to need a lot of help. So anyway, wonderful group here. So we're so happy you're here. And actually, before we turn the pulpit over to you, can we kneel together and let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, what an honor and a privilege it is to be called the children of God. Each and every one of us bow before you and recognize you not only as our Savior, but as our King. You're the one who brings us victory over the mountains in our life. You're the one who guides us through the perils, for you are our shepherd. And Lord, we just humbly thank you and ask that you would pour out your spirit immensely upon Pastor Sean and his wife Alana, Lord, both of them. I ask that you would bless the ministry, guide them, fill them with your spirit, bless their love and their marriage, protect it, Lord, for Satan is always after any way he can to get to us. So Lord, raise up a hedge, bless his ministry here and with his other churches, Lord. May he bring honor and glory to you. Until you come to gather us all together and we all throw our crowns at your feet and exclaim how wonderful our God is. We thank you, Father. Bless it incredibly. In thy holy name we ask. And the congregation says, amen. Amen, Lord.
Scripture is Romans 2, verse 4. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
Good morning, church. Happy Sabbath to you. So there's been an awful lot of stuff around our conference that has been far from usual. And so the circumstances of, you know, normally somebody from the conference would be here and they do an installation, which I've always had a hard time with that word, installation. You do that to a dishwasher, not to a pastor. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. But just real quick before I get into the sermon, just a little bit. So my wife and I, late June, will be married 29 years. And so the Lord blessed me with an amazing woman and she keeps me on the straight and narrow, which is a good thing. So I have been a pastor for just a little bit over a year. With the Oregon Conference, I did a lot of guest speaking around the Rogue Valley and even came all the way up to Eugene at one point in time. And so the Oregon Conference had talked to me, do you feel this call into ministry? And I had felt it, but they said, well, you have to have your education, which my education and training is in physical therapy. And so I came from healthcare, actually, just like Pastor Gary. He came from respiratory therapist, right? And so that's my background. And then one church down near the Medford area, they asked, hey, could you come be our pastor? Because I had spoken there. And then they said, no, we can't allow that. But then over the last couple, 3 years, they softened that because they have a program where you can be studying for your pastoral ministry degree while you're working as a pastor. And so just so you know, that's going to be part of my life for the next 4 to 5 years is getting my pastoral ministry degree. It's going to be a juggle, but God is good, right? He is. He is. So that's in short. And we have one son. He's 21 years old. And was it you that said, I can't remember who it was that said it, but we got to spend more time together because they said, you're not old enough to have a 21-year-old. And I said, well, you're going to have to keep you around more because we're definitely old enough to have a 21-year-old. But he lives down in Grants Pass. He works at a plywood mill down there. And so we are empty nesters. Amen? So that's kind of us in short. Over the long term, we're definitely going to get to know each other. And so a few things. One is I don't take life real heavy serious a lot. And so for me, I try to live by the adage, there is joy in the Lord. And so that's where I try to come from in terms of my approach to life. Now, obviously, there's levity that's not appropriate. We all know that. But there is absolute joy in the Lord. So that's where I like to come from. And so smiles on the face, always welcome. Always welcome. And the other thing is, I definitely want you to know that, yes, I have 3 churches and it's going to keep me busy. But you know what? It is what it is. And so that's what we signed up for. And that's okay. But from my perspective, you have my phone number in the bulletin. I want to hear from you by text, phone. If something's going on, if somebody's in the hospital, something else is going on, and it's something that seriously is needed, then by all means, get a hold of me. And so we met Thursday as the elders of the church. And I have to tell you guys are blessed with a rock solid group of elder leadership in this church. And so it was a good meeting, and it was good to get to know them a little bit. And so between that group and myself, we really, really want to make certain that you guys understand that we want to provide the level of love and care that's needed for everybody. And the other thing is, if I hear something 5 times, I would rather hear it 5 times than not at all. So go ahead and let me know what's going on. And I'm okay with that. So that's me in short. The other thing you're going to notice is I have a bit of a hard time standing still. So maybe it'll keep some eyes from shutting because your eyes are going this way, right? And so that's just kind of me and us in a nutshell. But we look forward to getting to know you guys and just moving forward for the Lord here. Let's have a word of prayer and we will get into the message today. Dear Father, I just want to thank you so much for just the amazing honor and privilege of being here today. And Lord, this is a big transition for all the membership here. It's a big transition for me. But Lord, we know this. Wherever we go, you're walking in step with us. And Lord, help us as we move forward to make certain that we walk in step with you. And so, Father, I just pray that the Holy Spirit will be poured out on this place. And I also pray that the messenger would be taken out of this message. And what you have to say would ring clear today. In Jesus' name we pray. Let everyone say, amen. So today I want to talk to you about something that is not going to bowl you over theologically. Is that okay? We're not going to get really into real deep exegesis, the fancy word, and all of that. But what I really want to do is talk about something that was put onto my heart because it was a time where I was going through a spiritual struggle. And I read this article that compared our spiritual walk with the training of a puppy. And so anybody else train a puppy? How was it for you? Good? Difficult? How many things got chewed up? How many commands disobeyed? All of them? Yeah. You must have had some kind of a doodle, right? Schnauzers, okay. And I don't know about you, but I find at times in my spiritual life, I do something and I actually complicate something that Jesus wanted to make straightforward and simple. Do you ever fight that? And so you've all heard the acronym KISS, right? Keep it simple, My first initial is Sean, so let's stay there. Keep it simple, Sean. And it's definitely something where I really believe that at times in our lives, and I have to tell you, at times within the church, I really think that we complicate things sometimes to where it loses its attraction. And honestly, Jesus wants to make certain that we understand that he wants us to look at him and his character and say, that is the most attractive individual that I could ever, ever be drawn to. So when we started into this training, we didn't jump straight into the advanced stuff, right? So what were the three basic commands that we would learn along with our dogs? You remember them? Sit, stay, and come. We're going to get into one last one, but we'll do that a little bit later. Sit, stay, and come. So we were doing really, really well when we were in this controlled environment of the dog classroom. And then we decided to head over to the Oregon coast, and now we're out in the wild. And unfortunately, we discovered that that boxer way across the beach was just much, much, much too attractive to our Rottweiler named Bo. It was just too much for him. And so now I have to tell you, with Bo, the most loving dog. You have one? But stubborn, rock-headed, but just absolutely loving. And so I saw him perk up, and then I glanced over at what he was perking up about, and it was the boxer off in the distance. And he took off. Now imagine, he's a 125-pound dog, and he's ripping across the beach straight at you, and you're the owner of the boxer. What are you going to think? Exactly. This thing's coming to kill me. And so as I'm running across the beach, I'm yelling, he's not going to hurt you. He's friendly. He just wants to play. He's a puppy still. But he was already 125 pounds. And if you could have seen the eyes of the owner of that boxer, I mean, pie plates. And of course, I'm trying to reassure him, but of course, I don't know how much of it here. And then of course, you know, here the little tail's this long, and the tail's just going like crazy, but I don't know that they saw that. And of course, as I walk up, highly embarrassed, and also apologetic about not having the leash on, which is definitely my fault. So I hooked him up to the leash and walked him away as I'm apologizing to the owner of the boxer. It's interesting now because now we own a dog that's part boxer. But that's an aside. So when we got back home, would you say that I should have progressed to all of the advanced stuff of dog training? Or did I need to get back to the basics so that he would master that? The basics. Thus the title, basic training. Did I say the advanced stuff? Yeah, that would be nice, huh? That would have been really nice. I said that a few times. But we went back to the basics because we need to master those in order to have the foundation for learning more and more of the depth of the advanced stuff. Can you see the parallel in our spiritual life? We need to have a foundation that is rock solid on Jesus Christ. And when we do that, as we move forward with a level of understanding that is going to be as drawing as Jesus is. He wants us to actually understand him in a way that's drawing to other people. And the Bible actually speaks to all of these commands, by the way. Sit, stay, and come. So let's look into that. So when you ask a dog to sit, if you got over the top of that dog's hips and you just rammed on it as you're yelling, sit, what's the dog going to do typically? It's going to push back. There's going to be a level of resistance to it. Why? Because I used a level of force that probably hurt the hips. And if we use a level of force in the way we deal with people, what's going to be the response with people? It's the very same thing. It's the exact same thing. They're going to push back. I mean, how many of us would push back with force? Right? And then the rest of you didn't raise your hand, but you would too. You would too. But our instructor did something that I thought was really, and I found that it hasn't worked for every dog, but it worked on our Rottweiler specifically. And she did something, so she'd put the hands on the hips and she'd say, sit, and then she'd slide her hands right down. And by the time she got to the equivalent of the dog's knee, if the back could be a knee, and then right when you got to about there, he would just sit. No force, no coercion. It was sit, and then the dog just sat down. Really perfect compliance. And all I had to do is use a light touch. By the way, the power of touch is actually, having come from the physical therapy world, the power of touch is absolutely vital and important for people. And so our scripture reading for today, thank you for reading it, our scripture reading today is something that's so key, because in Sabbath school class, it was mentioned that people look in the New Testament and we don't talk about repentance. But this is in the New Testament. But repentance is put in its proper perspective in the letter to the Romans. Romans 2 verse 4. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? Let me ask you a question. How many of you have natural repentance within you? How many of you have it? You have repentance. Good answer. Good answer. Why? Because I don't naturally want to turn away from the direction I feel I need to go. And that is repentance. It's turning 180 degrees and moving back in the direction that God intended us for us to be anyway. That's repentance. But it says that God doesn't use anything except for us understanding his goodness to lead us there. No force, no coercion. He leads us to repentance. We're also told in, I can't remember, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, he also says he wants that none would be lost and all would come to repentance. So repentance is in the New Testament. We just don't like to hear about it because it does make us turn from our own plans. So Jesus did something that was very, very key. And I'm really appreciative that our first Sabbath together is for us to sit down and have fellowship. And so my personality disposition, I am more charged up by being around people and having fellowship. So I'm not one of the introverts that says, you guys make me tired. That's not me. I'm charged up by that. Well, I mean, eventually I'm going to get tired, but Jesus did something, and it's in John 6, verse 3, and it says this, and Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. So his disciples knew something about him, and that was this. He was invested in them for time. So let me ask you a question. If I was to be invited over to somebody's house. Since you're in the front row, by the way, if you sit in the front row, you're going to get picked on. So just, it's going to happen. So, but if I was invited to your house, and the entire time I had my plate like this, and I'm going, what's going to be going through your mind? Yeah, good answer. Good answer. Yeah, why don't you have a seat? Why? Because I look like the last thing I want to do is sit around and actually talk to you. And so you and I would actually blow off a whole bunch of hours because I've already discovered you can talk like crazy. Right? Am I right? And so can I. And so can I. So next thing you know, 3 hours later, our wives are going to be going, right? Yeah? Is that correct? Yeah. Yeah. So you'll actually come from the same perspective as my wife, so. So there's another story in Luke chapter 10 that is so key to the way Jesus applies priorities to spending time with him. It also shows that, you know, that there's a place for being Martha, but Jesus is saying being Mary is such a key. So it's Luke chapter 10. We'll start with verse 38. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at the feet and heard his word. So one of them is stressed out about all the stuff, and Mary just simply said, Jesus is here. And she says, I'm going to sit at his feet. And she had a sister, Mary, and this is key, also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. So I got to ask you this, just to get to know you guys. How many Marthas do we have here? You're Martha and Mary? Okay, so you're bipolar, right? But okay, all right. It's not a diagnosis, it's a question. It's not a diagnosis, it's a question. Okay, good. So Alana, you're going to find that potluck time, she's going to eat, and then she's going to be washing dishes, and she's going to be doing that. She is Martha. So this isn't in my notes, but I'll just share this really quick. I thought it was funny. So a while back, I somewhat know Ty Gibson from Lightbearers. And so we had him over to our house a few years ago. And we had a brunch. And so Alana gets up and goes over. So Ty and I are just talking away, because Ty likes to talk, I like to talk, and so we're just talking away, and finally he says, why are you having your wife in there doing all the work? And so from the kitchen, Alana says, don't worry about it, I got it covered, you guys just sit and talk. And I said, she's Martha. It's just, she's got that servant's heart, and that's what she's going to do. And Ty looks at me and says, so that makes you Mary. And I went, and he goes, you're such a chick. And I was like, thanks, Ty, I appreciate that. Anyway, it has nothing to do with the sermon per se, but it was an interesting one. But then Jesus brings it back to the key to all of us. And that is, yes, we should be servants. Yes, we should do absolutely all of it. But there's this. But one thing is needed. One thing is needed. And what's the one thing? Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. What's the one thing? Sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to his words. That's the one thing. And I have to tell you this, if in fact we even take one half step off of the one thing, dress reform, health reform, prophecy, this and that, if we take even one half step off of Jesus as dead center in it, we're heading in the wrong direction. We are absolutely heading in the wrong direction, because he says there's one thing that's needed. And that's what Mary was doing. Sit at the feet of Jesus and stay connected there. Is there ever a bad time to be with Jesus and sit in his presence? Never, ever, ever. And so Jesus' message is this. Have a seat. Stay a while. Speaking of stay, that's the second command. And this one, how did your Rottweiler do with stay? It depends. Yeah, on any other thing that was worthy of attention other than what you had to say. Right? Sounds familiar. It was tough for him because it was like, oh, what's that? Oh, what's that? Oh, what's this? Oh, what's that? And you might find something else too, because they say that our dogs start to take on the personality and sometimes even the appearance of the owners. So once in a while, you might find me doing a little that sort of thing. So it just so Pastor Gary asked that you guys would extend me grace. So I'm just telling you right now, once in a while, it's going to be pew. But I'll come back. Trust me. I'll come back. But Jesus gives us an admonition that is so very, very key. And it says this is John chapter 15, starting with verse 4. And it says, abide in me. And I in you. You notice that? Jesus is not just saying, I want this to be a one-way street. He's saying this is a two-way street. Abide in me and I in you. He wants us to have a rapport and a relationship that is deep and two-way. Verse 5, I am the vine, just in case that we were uncertain about what he meant. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Can we do a little bit on our own? Well, we can, but it will have the appearance of accomplishing. It'll just have the appearance of accomplishing. But I would suggest it's a really, really, really bad idea for us to do anything other than what this says. We do everything with him and nothing without him. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. And so this is from Desire of Ages, just a quick little sentence. As the vine branch constantly draws the sap from the living vine, so are we to cling to Jesus. Do you think that Ellen White actually was very short on descriptive terms? She had some amazing ways. I mean, cling to Jesus. So abiding in him, spending time in prayer, but I will, and you will hear this a lot from me. If this book doesn't become the voice of God audibly to us, then we can hear all kinds of stuff going on around us. But this book, is the only one that we can see the truth as it is in Jesus. So I commend you to this book. And we can never go wrong staying there. Ever. So the last one is come. So when we were in class, we would walk the dog over there, and so we would put him in an extended stay, and then we'd walk away. And they're supposed to stay over there. And then once we would be safe from the doors in the back there to here, then we would tell them to come, and they're supposed to come straight to you, sit right here. And when they got there, we were supposed to smack them upside the head and tell them how bad of a dog they were. Right? Treats, praise, all of that. So I have to tell you, in some traditions, there's a question about whether or not when God says come, that he meets us with love and acceptance. So I'll give you an example of that. My grandfather passed away. He came from a different faith tradition, and they wanted to have a memorial service there in that church. And so my uncle, who was far from being any type of a Christian, under his breath, I was walking directly behind him, and under his breath, as we were just about ready to come through the doors, he says, "It's been a long time since I've been in one of these places." And you know what he did? Steel-framed doors, okay, so rock solid. And he came up to that steel-framed door, and he put shoulder and hip into that door, and he tested the integrity of the door framing. Because in his mind, when God calls, when God says, come, he says, welcome back. Now the walls are going to fall in on you. Honestly, that was his thought process. He said it under his breath. I wonder if the walls are going to fall in on this place. I'm here to tell you that that's not the God we serve. That's not the God we know. When he says come, he says, I am going to welcome you with open arms. And the whole cleaning up thing, we'll work on that over time. And it's really, really sad because he came from that tradition and that thought process of there had to be certain conditions that were met before I come. And if I come and those aren't met, the walls are going to fall in on me. And that, my friends, is sad. Is really sad. And so we all know this story, but I think it really, really fits here. The story of the prodigal son. So first and foremost, let me ask you this question. Usually, when is the inheritance granted? Right after they've died. But he asked for it before dad had died. What's the underlying message from the son? I just want you to die. That's the underlying message. You know, if you died, then I just get it all. But the father, out of love, says, okay, here you go. And of course, we know the story goes on. He spent everything, and now he's feeding the pigs. An abomination, by the way, for a good, solid Hebrew to be feeding the pigs. But that's where he was. And so finally, he comes to this point, and we're going to start with verse 17. He finally comes to this point. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? So he would have had to have just provided for himself. The servants weren't going to get provided for. You had to figure that out. They weren't getting paid anything either. So that's kind of tough. Verse 18, I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So here he is in the pig pen. So how many of you guys have gotten in trouble from your parents? And you knew between when you got in trouble to the time you were getting home, what were you doing? What were you doing? That's what he's doing, by the way. What were you doing? You were practicing, what am I going to tell mom and dad? Right? What am I going to tell mom? And that's what he's doing. He's practicing his speech. What am I going to tell dad? But here's what he forgot. He forgot how much the father loved him. But yet he's practicing. He said, don't even make me your son. I don't even deserve to be your son. Just make me like one of your hired servants. He had forgotten his father. And I think he misread the motive of the father. I don't care about any of that stuff. I care about you. Verse 20, and he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Another key point to all of this. If while he was a great way off, he saw him and recognized him way out there. He didn't smell the pig pen, by the way, yet. What was the father doing the entire time? He was saying, I just want my son to come back. The father, with compassion, welcomed him. But the entire time, he was just every day saying, I just hope he comes back. And the son said to him, the practiced speech, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. He practiced more in the pig pen. Did you notice? I can see the father going, Just stop. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and sandals on his feet. Okay, vegetarian Adventists, close the ears. I'm vegetarian too. and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Does it say that he took a shower between here and there? How long did it take him to get from here to there? We don't know. But he went straight from the pig pen. He probably didn't shave any of that stuff. He didn't smell really good either. The father didn't care. And I have to tell you something. There are times to where we run into situations to where it doesn't smell real good. But with compassion, we need to deal with that, don't we? But then it says, give him the best robe. Jesus is saying right now, I just want to give you the robe of my righteousness. And the stuff that we bring to the table, he's saying, I'm going to cover it up. And I believe this. It's not in the story, but I believe this. I believe the father went straight to a servant and said, now let's go clean them up. Let's go clean them up. I believe that with my whole heart. And the father said, before we go too far, I want to give you the dignity that you deserve. Because as my son, I'm going to treat you with dignity. And Jesus treats every single one of us with the exact same dignity. He says, listen, I'm going to clean you up. Because let's face it, every single one of us came from a dirty spot. I left one command out I had said, and that's the command to heal, H-E-E-L, to heal. So if our dogs are healing, rather than trying to rip our arms off, and at his size, he would definitely make my arm pretty uncomfortable. It's definitely comfortable for me. But so once in a while, on YouTube, I guess it's one of my indulgences, is I like to watch dog trainers. I love the way dog trainers actually deal with dogs. And it's very interesting because a dog that acts up, they say, well, that's a bad dog. No, actually, that's a dog who doesn't understand that the handler, or we'll call it the master, is not a safe place. So what do? They step forward in front of the master because I got to protect you from yourself. But here's the thing. God's calling us to understand that when we walk in step with him, he knows how to handle it. The absolute safest place and the most secure place for the dog as we're walking along is to walk in step with the master. And as we do the same, the absolute safest place that we could ever be is walking in step with the master. With the master. It's the absolute safest, most secure place we can be on this earth. Does anybody feel that this earth is becoming much less of a secure place? So I'm here to tell you, the safe place, the only safe place in this earth is walking in step with the master. That's it. And so there's a call that goes out. It's one of my favorite. At the end of Sabbath school, you share Jeremiah 29. It's interesting you would share that because that's actually what I shared at our elders meeting. One of my all-time favorites. But here's probably my next favorite. Matthew chapter 11, starting with verse 28. And Jesus says this, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Do you find that sometimes on a soul level, it's hard to rest? I'd recommend one thing. Don't watch the news anymore. You can do what you want, but I just, watching the news, it's like, well, yeah, that's peaceful. No, not really. But yet he says, we're heavy laden. And in verse 30, he says this, do you like this exchange? Heaviness? For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He says, let me take all the heaviness of it, and I'm going to give you what's light. That's my burden. Do you like that exchange? If God ever looked at life as we need to make this fair, it's good that God doesn't say we're going to make it all fair, because guess what? We could never ever have a fair interaction like this, because it doesn't exist. God says, I'm going to go so far above and beyond, it's never going to be fair. And we say, praise God, because it's not going to be always in our favor from God's perspective. Because he just gives. So, we need to sit at the feet of Jesus. So I'm going to close with just a couple thoughts and one last verse. First thing is, we need to commit to sitting at the feet of Jesus. We need to commit to that. That's number one. Number two, stay connected to the life-giving Word of God. Because if we want to truly live, then life comes through the Word. And come. Let the Father embrace all of us. Do you think heaven rejoices when that happens? By the way, this is I love this thought. So when somebody says that we come to the bosom of the Father, you guys know that term, the bosom of the Father. The literal meaning of that is from between the arms. Well, guess what? If you're leaning on my chest and you're between my arms, what's going on? It's God hug. And he's saying, that's really where I want all of you to reside. In a constant God hug, realizing that as we walk through this earth, it's the safest place to be. So there's a command, heal, but God says when we get to this place where we actually walk with him that way, he says this in Malachi 4 verse 2, but to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. So when we heal, H-E-E-L, it allows him to heal us, H-E-A-L. And every one of us have experienced people who've hurt us, circumstances who've hurt us, and guess what? If we spend that time with our Lord every single day, guess what? We start to have that stuff just start to fall away. Because we're told by the Lord, give it all to me. And it's going to be much lighter for us. And it's much better, like when you know when people don't have to say, oh, here comes Sean. Right? As opposed to, man, I'm glad you're here. Wouldn't that be something if that was our entire human interaction? I'm so glad you're here. And I said, I'm glad you're here. And I wasn't faking it. So I'd like to do this. If you would like to actually have those three steps, sit at the feet of Jesus, stay in his presence, and come regularly to him. I'd just like to do this. We're all new to each other. I'd like to pray for all of us that we would commit to that as a people. As a church. And I'm not making this necessarily an altar call per se, but if you would like, I would like to, I know we're going to have a closing song, but I'd like to just pray together. So maybe we can just do that right here. And let's just pray together that we all would actually do that. And if you don't want to come here, that's fine. But my wife will come stand with me.
I'll hold your hand.
All right, good. And so if we as a people and as a church just commit to those simple things, there's going to be a lot of complex good stuff happening. But yet, if we actually are committed to that, it's going to be amazing. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much for this group of people, Lord. Thank you for the commitment here in this church. And Lord, I just pray that you would deepen our relationships with each other. I just pray that you would please send people here who are asking the question, do I have to clean myself up before I come? Lord, tell them no. And tell the people around here, come here. And Lord, may we actually welcome them with open arms. Please, Father, send your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I don't naturally look at people that way. I don't. But through the Holy Spirit, you can change the way I even see people. The way we see people. And Lord, I just pray that when they come in these doors, that we can have them declare, as Paul said, somebody from the outside comes in and they will declare, God is in this place. So thank you, Father, for this amazing responsibility. And I just pray, Lord, that you just pour out a blessing the rest of today and the rest of our time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, I just, again, want to thank you so much. Anywhere is where you want to go with us. So, Lord, please, just go with us. And have us take you with us everywhere we go. So thank you again, Father, for being here with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.